Today on We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. We're talking about Assassins. Step right up and shoot the president. Whether you've got problems with your tummy, or you're just unworthy of Jodie Foster's love, everybody's got the right to be happy in this episode. There's another national anthem playing, and it sounds like our theme song. Well, hey everybody, welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And this is the podcast of Can't Talking, as we've stumbled upon.
We mumbled upon it.
But this is the podcast of Can't Talking, and we're no longer doing Andrew Lloyd Webber. We did a month-long look at Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff. And so, of course, the obvious choice to do after Andrew Lloyd Webber is Sondheim, who is like the, I guess a lot of people say he's like the evil version of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Well, they were born on the same day. I mean, years apart, but they had the same birthday.
So they're like evil twins?
Yeah, one's British, one's American. And so I guess they're like evil twins from different mothers. I'm just saying it makes sense to go to Sondheim next. So we are talking about Assassins, a.k.a. Guns the Musical. Thanks at that theater, Jen, for this week's alternate title, Guns the Musical. How appropriate. And guys, we have a special guest with us today. This is the director and writer of Emo the Musical, Neil Triffitt. Hello, Neil.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today? And you are obviously on the other side of the world right now in Australia. This is the first time I think we've ever interviewed somebody from Australia.
Definitely.
Really? You should do it more often. It is. It's a very weird time of morning. It's like 10:30 here. The sun is up.
Oh, wow.
You know, I think it's going down for you guys.
It's about 7:30 here at night and on a Wednesday, and you are on a Thursday. So
nice.
Yes. So we're talking about Assassins, and Neil, I have several questions for you because we approached you and we said we wanted to talk to you about a musical. Obviously, we did an episode about Emo, the musical, your musical, and we really enjoyed it. And we had some back and forth with you and the producer, and we were just very excited to have you on here, not only to talk about some of what influenced your Emo, the musical, but also just like what musical you would want to talk about. And you said Assassins, and I'm curious, why did you pick Assassins?
It is an absolutely fascinating musical. I have to put it out on the table now, though. I haven't actually seen it. I've listened to the music obsessively, and I have seen it on YouTube, which I think doesn't count, and it's also probably illegal.
We're the same way.
It's this total mishmash of ideas and politics, and it's musical. Like, sometimes you hear musicals that aren't inherently musical, and the way they kind of like combine the different genres of music to talk about something that's new and exciting. What's not to like about Assassins?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I had actually never heard of it. As we've started doing this podcast, we're discovering more and more musicals and digging deeper into like the chronicles of different directors and writers and stuff. And so I was familiar with Sondheim, but not Assassins. So I was very interested when you said that. I was like, oh, great, a new musical I had never heard of. I think it's one that most people haven't heard of. It kind of got buried when it first came out, from what I can tell. So I was surprised when you picked it. I have to say, we always ask people what an alternate title they would pick for this musical would be. So Neil, what would you have called Assassins if you could give it a new name?
Kind of putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, it would have to have something with American in the title, I think. It would have to be something like American Dream. Or something slightly political, I think.
Yeah, that's a good one. American Dream, I like that. I was thinking that as I was listening to it, and I found it funny. Well, not like hilarious, but just kind of humorous that like the one musical that we do that is probably the most American was picked by our first Australian guest. So I found that very interesting. I mean, obviously listening to it, I was like, oh, because I studied American music in college, and I was like, this is so American. You can hear not just the themes of it with the American presidents, but the musically it was very American. So what about this music? Well, first, let me ask you this. What was your experience with Assassins? When was the first time you've heard Assassins?
I first heard it, I was at college, and I was – kind of unlucky because they had just performed it the year before, before I arrived. And I had a drama teacher who just gave it to me, like on CD and said, listen to this. And it was just enthralling because it is just the intertextual references with the music. I use the word intertextual. I hope I get extra points for that. Just the intertextual references with like music is amazing. Like it is a weird musical. And the fact it doesn't have like a linear plot, I can imagine why it got buried, because if you read the script, there's not really a story throughout it. There's kind of like these choppy skits or scenes, and right. I don't think they all work. I think half of the scenes are failures, but the songs themselves have quite tight narratives throughout them, and I think that kind of carries the musical all the way through. But I don't know. It's just fascinating to kind of go that it is an obscure, odd musical, and there's probably not enough of them.
Right.
And we do have it play here in Australia from time to time. I think we just had it in Sydney. But yeah, it's hard to get to when it is on because it's quite popular. It's not performed that often.
Yeah, it's strange that it's so popular now.
Yeah, I mean, not enormously popular. Like it's not like one of the biggest on time.
Right.
But it is amazing because like for such an American musical to translate so well over here, because we do know so much about America, and our country is so influenced by what happens in America and the choices that are made. And I think we are always having to kind of fight against some of the ideas that come out of America, which are inside the Assassins musical. And, you know, there's some amazing things about America and there's some amazing people in America. But sometimes the ideas around the American dream are challenging and they're dangerous. And we are constantly having to go, well, we don't necessarily want to be totally America. And with the world shrinking and with us all getting closer together, there is the danger that it'll happen. So I think it's kind of, for Australians, I guess it's a bit of a warning.
No, yeah, I get you. What would you, like you said, there's no plot really, but what would you say is like the general message of this movie for somebody that's never seen it? I've tried to explain it to a few friends. They look at me very confused. Like, how could that possibly translate to a musical? So like, I don't know if you've ever had to explain it to someone, but like how do you explain this, not just the what you visually see on stage, but kind of the message behind it?
It is what you visually see on stage is very much a review show. So it is kind of a collection of scenes and skits. And there are assassins who interact with each other who could have never interacted with each other historically. And there's gags that they say to each other. And some of those are slightly insensitive gags too.
Right.
But I guess like what it all adds up to, it is a discussion about why people kill presidents, but it's done with this kind of aspirational tone. So there's all these people, and by exploring their stories and saying these are, for a lot of them, they were failures, and killing the president was often all they had to do. So it's kind of because they're constantly talking about their aspirations and their desire to be accepted parts of America. I don't know. I think it says like the thing that tells people that everybody can be a president is also the same thing that says everybody also has the right to kill a president. Like right. For me, that's the message.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get that. Very much of like a sense of entitlement that I think for Elise and I, since we are American, it's something that's just, we don't necessarily think about, but people say, you know, you can be anything you want to be here in America. And I guess Sondheim even talks about that in West Side Story. You know, I want to be in America. Okay, for me in America. Yeah, we just kind of hear that all the time. You can be anything you want to be. So the problem, I guess, then, is when you don't get what you want, what do? You blame the country that told you that, and you go after, you know, the person that's in charge of the country to prove a point, I guess. I was very surprised by this musical. I wasn't expecting the message of it. I really thought, oh, this is going to be insensitive, but it points out the absurdities, and I guess it is a little bit of a slap in the face. Sometimes you can do it and it's just bad taste, but I didn't feel like this was bad taste at all. What do you think? Do you think it's bad? Obviously you don't, you like it, so.
I think there are bits that are bad taste. I think maybe some of the stuff that deals with mental illness possibly is. I think the point that it has is just such a strong and interesting point. But it's also, it's not a total punch in the face, in that the whole point of it is that the American dream is a contradiction, where sure, you can have whatever you like, but you can't have these things because they're weird things. Like, you know, you can become the president, but becoming someone who kills the president, that's weird. I don't want to do that. But it's like, ultimately, they're the same kind of sides of the coin, or different sides of the same coin. But I am curious. It's wonderful for me. I get to talk to Americans.
Yeah.
Do you think a lot of people would be offended by this?
I don't think a lot of people. Well, I don't know. I personally, I'm not offended by it. I find it very fascinating. I'm a Southern boy. I grew up in the South, and I have generations above me that would probably think it's very tacky. Like I said, I'm in the South. A lot of people are very proud of guns, and there's a huge talk about guns in this musical. I grew up in a home where we didn't have guns. It just wasn't something we thought that's something we need. For me, yeah, it doesn't offend me. What about you, Elise?
I just feel like there are so many people that are just, their love for America is so strong, we'll say it that way, that anything that might tarnish the name of America or put America in a bad light by showing patterns of, you know, oh, all these people wanting to, you know, right, kill other people. I think that that can be offensive within itself, just like people taking it the wrong way. Like, we're showing America to be a horrible place where people kill people, and we shouldn't spend too much time thinking or talking about that.
Right.
But like you said, too, with like the gun control issue, there would be a lot of people that would feel like maybe the whole story isn't there. So we're kind of, you know, blaming the guns or whatever. I just feel like there's a lot. People can be offended by a lot of things.
Yeah, honestly,
so,
I,
yes,
think
I
this,
think it could be.
I think this time in America is the time where the most people would probably support this musical. Before, they would say, oh, you're making light of something that's so serious. Now they would say, hey, we need to point something out. Something's wrong here. We need to fix something. And I think this is a great musical to do that. Let's talk about the music, though, because we can talk about the context of everything in a little bit. But I kind of want to know your opinion, just musically. What do you think about the music, and also how has it influenced you, maybe as a writer, or has it at all influenced you, and maybe what you've done with like Emo the Musical?
I think the music is spectacular. Like, Sondheim is doing what Sondheim does best. There's rhymes and there's internal rhymes, and he's getting musical genres and reinterpreting them, and he's mashing them up. So I was like, from a musical perspective, it's beautiful, and the themes that are carried through, it's just spectacular. And then also just the interesting thing. So he innovates in a lot of ways too. And I actually don't know the exact year this was made. I think it was the '90s.
Yeah, I think it was 90.
Right. There's a final song towards the end called Something Just Broke. And there's almost like a repetition of a radio line that continues to play all the way through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite innovative, kind of. It's almost like sampling,
right?
Which we don't get to see very often in musicals. So he's pushing the boundaries whenever he can. I would love to say that I've taken all these ideas and run with them on Emo. I don't think so. Like, this man is incredibly talented. Like, he's a genius. But there are, I think, the sense of irony is definitely still there in Emo. So there's a lot of dramatic irony in Assassins, and there's definitely a lot of dramatic irony in Emo, where there's characters who are singing some things that are really incredibly offensive and wrong. But they don't know they're wrong. They don't know they're offensive. They believe them really wholeheartedly and naively, and in some ways in a beautiful, pure way. But the audience knows that they're crazy. They're really wrong,
right,
which I think has kind of carried through. I think that's something that we share. But I think musically, we're almost, I think we're anti-Sondheim in a lot of ways anyway, because we've purposely gone out and made really short music tracks. Like, some of our songs last for a minute and a half, and we've we took a bit of a gamble to say, we don't think the chorus belongs in a film musical anymore. Like, if you're going to create a musical just for film, any repetition of information is useless. So that means choruses no longer are relevant. And of course, you get away with it when you have enormous song and dance numbers. We didn't want song and dance numbers. We wanted people to be singing to each other in rooms. At one point, they sing to each other in a cupboard. So it's tiny, it's stripped down, no movement at all. So for us, it was almost like reverse engineering and kind of like really shrinking that down. But there are themes that carry throughout the course of the movie. But generally, we tried to keep the songs kind of separate in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I noticed, because I was trying to think, how's he going to answer this question? And so when I was listening to Assassins, I was trying to make any connections with Emo just to see if there were any. And I didn't really make any connections, like you said. They're completely separate. But I did notice there was the one song, The Unworthy of Your Love. And that, to me, felt like it could have been maybe in... it actually reminded me of the song where they... Oh, now I forget the name. I'm a horrible podcast host. Where the one that you wrote about them holding hands.
It's called The Way You Held Your Hand.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're on. You got it right.
Yeah, that to me is, it sounded kind of like the Unworthy of Your Love song. Maybe not exactly, but, you know, the two people singing, kind of switching on and off, back and forth, and then it kind of comes together. And I just felt like that song, Unworthy of Your Love, could kind of fit into Emo. So I didn't know if that one maybe influenced you at all, but But I don't, let's talk about that song then.
Like, that's a great song. I would say probably the biggest similarity between that song and now our musical is Electrified. There's a song in which a jock character and a gay Christian boy sing to each other. And I'd say there are similarities between those two songs. Not conscious at all. But I'm Worthy of Your Love is a fascinating song because it's sung by two people who probably never met each other. And when you hear it on the soundtrack, you think that it's a love song, but they're singing to two totally different people. One person singing to Charles Manson, the other one singing to Jodie Foster. And they're kind of two separate delusions that are kind of tied together thematically by a song. When I first heard it, I just assumed it was a pretty stock standard love song. So it was interesting to kind of dramatize and get a little bit more complicated than that. They're trying to link together separate ideas, which, yeah, it's a fascinating song. And it's nice because it's probably the prettiest song and the most romantic song in the whole musical. They're probably the most sincere of all of them. But of course, we know because they're singing to people who they can never talk to. It just has this darker meaning, which I really like.
Something we do on this podcast, we ask what your favorite song is. Let's start with us, and then we'll end with you, Neil. So my favorite song was How I Saved Roosevelt.
It's a good one.
I think I like that one because it sounds very much, you know, the John Philip Sousa type music. Stars and Stripes Forever, you know, but that's another one where, like you were talking about the internal rhyme that Sondheim does. I think one of the lines is like, to be left bereft of FDR. I like how that flows. I've never seen a musical where somebody's singing from an electric chair.
Yeah, that was a first.
Just that visual is probably one of the darker visuals I could pull from the musical because it's so upbeat sounding and everybody's so happy they saved Roosevelt and they're singing around this guy just about to get electrocuted. And he's not very happy he's there and everybody misunderstands him. And that was very strange, but I really liked the song. It was very memorable for me. What do you guys think about that song?
I think it's a terrific song, and it is kind of like the immigrant character is so fascinating because he probably has the most valid reasons for killing a president out of all of them. But at the same time, he comes out with like ridiculous statements. It's like, going up to that area was too hot, so I'm going to go kill this person down here instead of up there because of the weather. Mm-hmm. And you go, if you're that passionate about your convictions, surely you shouldn't care what the weather's like. But it's an amazing kind of mash of narcissism, because it's like, this guy's like, I'm going to kill this person because he hasn't made me happy, and then these other people are like, this person has made him happy because we saved him. But it's about them. It's not about the president. It's not about what's right. I think it's just a fascinating, very cool song.
Elise, what do you think about that song? Two part. What do you think of it? And also, what was your favorite song?
So what I think of it, I thought it was a really good song. I like, same as Neil is saying, like with the narcissism and how everybody wants to talk about how they played their part in the situation. And specifically that one line where a lady asks, are you with the press? And the guy says, yes. And he says, I'm a mess. And just kind of the idea of like thinking about that when like the president just was almost murdered. Like, it's just, you never hear a song in a musical that deals with that type of issue, I guess. Yeah. So I found it very interesting. But my favorite song was the Ballad of Gâteau.
Charlie Gâteau.
I like that one because it starts off very like slow and kind of like a hallelujah ballad.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, I saw that they actually, that was some like a poem that he actually wrote. And that's what they based I Am Going to the Lordy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I loved. I thought that was like really interesting. And then it goes into the look on the bright side, however that goes. So just like the combination of those two things, and it seems so contrasty, and yet it works so well together, and it's just great. I love it.
Yeah, well, it's very delusional. I don't know how you guys felt. Neil, what do you think of the Charlie Gâteau song?
It's almost my favorite, or it was my favorite. Like, I've kind of returned back to it to listen to some of the other songs. It's fast because it is that I'm going to the Lord, and you feel so sorry for him, and you just want to hug him and say, you are delusional. You have some problems. And it's because they don't often give you moments where you get to feel sorry and like the characters in this musical, but there are just moments like that are beautiful. So yeah, it's really nice. And they're also really mean to that guy. Like, out of everyone, I think they're probably the meanest to him. Like, they make fun of his convictions. The narrator who joins and tells him how crazy he is and delusional he is. And it's hard to not feel sorry for the guy.
It is
clever of them.
It's strange when you watch this musical about assassins that, at least for us, you know, they murdered some heroes of our country, not in all cases, but people that we're supposed to look up to. And then so you want those people to be monsters, but there's something about this musical that makes you go, oh, that poor guy, You know, like that poor guy was just having a tough time. I mean, did he choose the right way to deal with it? No. But, you know, they're not monsters. They're just having a tough time and don't know how to solve it. And they all want their prize.
Well, and it's sad because they feel so convinced that what they're saying is truth and it's the hard facts. And so it's sad in that way where it's like, if I was convinced of something wholeheartedly and I was completely wrong and didn't know it, like that's a really interesting concept, I guess.
So I listening to it all again, like the final song, the second final song, Something Just Broke, which I was watching a YouTube video on this last night, and it seems to be the song that people cut out of the musical whenever they can. And it makes sense because it's not so much about the assassins. But I think that's what's really beautiful about it, because within the musical, you kind of lose context of what is normal, I guess. And you kind of start treating these characters like freaks. It's a bit of a freak show. But with Something Just Broke, it kind of extends out to us and just the people who were there. Like, everybody remembers, like, even here in Australia, everyone remembers where they were when 9/11 happened. It's like, well, I can remember my mother walking in the room with the newspaper. It's just something that the whole world has this collective memory of.
Yeah.
So it turns these assassinations around, and it makes you realize that the assassins did it because they thought it was all about them. And it turned out not to be about them. It turned out not to be even about the president. All these people are interpreting the event in terms of their own lives. So they're remembering where they were when it happened, what it meant to them, what it meant for their politics. And you just realize, like, again, it makes the assassins almost seem normal for a moment. So the narcissism that they have is a narcissism that all of us have. It's like all these big events mean nothing. It's all just how we interpret them. And I think it's just a fascinating song. And in some ways, I think it's sad that that's the song that gets cut out. It pulls us into it, and it makes us look at ourselves.
I could be wrong, but I think that song might have been – I don't even know if they put it in the original version. I think it was written, but it was like a cut. So maybe that's why it gets cut in later versions. I think it was like a deleted song that they didn't use in the first draft, I guess. I mean, I could be wrong, but – I listened to the original soundtrack and it wasn't in there. And then I listened to the revival, the 2004 version with Neil Patrick Harris. It was in there. And I was like, I don't remember this song at all. Elise and I were talking about this. It is interesting to hear a song not with assassins, just random people. In some ways, it was like a disconnect because I wanted to go back to the assassins. But also, it was really fascinating to hear where all these people were. You know, the sample you're talking about, the president has been shot.
I think I had no idea about the history of that and it not being present in the original musical. That sounds fascinating. It's also, I think that the song's really beautiful in that it uses chorus really well. Like in so many musicals, chorus are kind of relegated to just giving the same line. It's all repeated together. Whereas all the way through Assassins, like the chorus does really complicated things. Like How I Say Roosevelt is a really good example where the chorus plays quite complex characters and they give a really complex meaning. And it's nice to kind of see the chorus, which represents us, suddenly become this really complicated thinking creature of its own in that song. In fact, all the way through the musical. And I think that's one of the strengths of Assassins for sure.
Well, there's something we do almost every episode. What we're going to do this time is we have a game called What Song Is That From? Hey, wait a second. I gotta know. What song is that from? Neil, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you lyrics from the musical. And I want to see if you can guess what song they're from.
I'm terrified, but I noticed you did that in another episode, so I've been practicing up. I'm training and I'm ready.
Okay, cool.
He came prepared.
Yeah, I think we played this game with your musical. I don't remember how we did, though.
We did pretty well. I think it was one or two that were wrong, but I think there were probably only one or two. No, I think it was like 4 out of 5 were right. I think it was done well.
Okay, wow. Well, that's a good for you for making some memorable lyrics then. I mean, I don't want to like gush over you right now, but we really did. We were unexpected. Like this musical, we didn't know anything about it. We just randomly stumbled upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were really like, that was fun.
Like, it really, really was. Liked it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I mean, it is a film that people have happened to stumble on more than anything else. It doesn't have a marketing budget of $1 billion. So people are stumbling on it. They're kind of, it's nice to get messages. It's like, oh, that was I was surprised. A lot of people, because it's called Emo the Musical, which I love because it's kind of, it's a little bit of a poke in the face for people who are into serious things. So people watch and think it's going to be awful. And then they find out, oh, no, it's actually, you know, there's a bit more to it than just a odd title.
Yeah, the title is what drew me in.
Nice. It either draws you in or you run away screaming. It's
well, yeah. Well, it sounds like you're okay with that, though. So that's good. At least you know it might be a little polarizing. But I think that's fine. I mean, I create stuff all the time, too. And I'm like, nobody's going to like this. But this is what I want to do. So That's fine.
Totally. What was it? There was this classical composer. He would write songs like punching someone in the face with a trash bag. And these were like classical songs. So it was kind of nice. And the reason he was doing it was he thought, well, if you're going to judge something based on this title, you're not my audience anyway, and screw you. So it's kind of nice to run with that attitude sometimes.
Okay, let's play the game then. Are you ready? Are you ready, Neil?
I'm so ready, yes.
All right. Here is your first lyric. And I have a feeling this one's going to be easy. Some men have everything and some have none.
Oh, that is easy.
I'll say it again, though. I had a little bit of a glitch. That's my excuse anyway.
Some men have everything and some have none.
He's over there Googling because we can't see him.
It could fit in a lot of those songs.
True.
I would say it would probably be Everybody's Got the Right, maybe?
That is a good guess because it does sound like it would be in Everybody's Got the Right. It could because, yeah, that like you were saying, it could fit in lots of songs. But you're wrong. I am sorry. That is actually from the ballad of, and I'm going to try to say this guy's name, Cholgaz?
The immigrant, right? Is he an immigrant? No.
Yes?
No, that's the guy. Okay.
His name is Cholgosz, and I think that's Cholgaz. But this is the, you know, Chol's guys, working man. Dun, 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 dun. Some men have everything and some have none. So that's what that's from.
So it's like one of the balladeer lines. Okay. But, yep.
Yes.
It makes sense now, but I still lost.
But, hey, that's okay, though.
Like you said,
you tried your best.
We lose all the time.
Before we move on, what'd you think of that song? Because that song to me is very Western sounding. That's the one I think part of the lines is like, at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo.
Yeah, which James has been singing ever since he watched this. So,
well, it's one of those things, you know, there's certain musicals that challenge me and like some lyrics stick in your mind and others, they're so complicated. And in this one, they keep adding the Pan American Hall of Lights or something like that. And they keep adding different things as they go along. And then it just ends with in Buffalo. And that's what, I mean, I need to learn that. Thank you, Neil, for exposing me to this musical because it's a challenge that I get to accept.
It is so complicated, that song. I actually forgot it existed until I listened back to it. But yeah, you kind of listen to the internal rhymes and how clever it is. And you do wonder how the hell he did it.
Yeah.
But he is Sondheim.
Yes. Well, you do have one wrong, but hey, there's four more. You got a chance. So let's give you your second lyric.
Okay.
You are wind and devil and God.
Easy.
Well, don't say easy.
That is easy. I've got that one. That is, I'm worthy of your love.
Yes. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations. Yes. we kind of already talked about that song.
It's beautiful because you're singing that one to Charlie Manson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I found so, I don't know. I guess that character and then, I forget her name.
Sarah Jane Moore.
They didn't know each other, but then they both knew Charles Manson and both tried to kill the same president. Is that what was going on there? Or did they know each other? Does anybody know?
No, I don't think they knew each other, and they both failed to kill him within a period of 3 weeks. They are definitely the characters that I think we've heard the least of in the musical, so it does take a little bit of time to kind of catch up to them.
Yeah.
And neither of the ladies get their own song. I also think there's a bit of a sexist challenge where you go, I didn't know women can kill presidents. So it's just wrapping your head around that too very briefly.
I didn't think about that.
When they walk in, when the women walk into the carnival, like the opening scene, it's very like, get out of here, like, go play the other games.
Yeah, the Ferris wheel is that way. The bumper cars are that way or whatever.
Yeah, you're in the wrong spot. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
It's a total win for feminism when women can kill presidents too.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so you got one out of two so far. Here is your third lyric. I think this is going to be an easy one too, just about because of the way I'm about to say it. What's a wrong, boy?
Oh, it's Everybody's Got the Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm.
Ding, 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 ding. I feel like I should add carnival noises just like they do in this musical. When you get one right, I just have like
or
bells and whistles. Well, a gunshot if he gets it wrong.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Yeah, no, this is the line with the, what's wrong, boy? Trouble with your tummy or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I found that very strange. This guy's got stomach pains. I had never heard of this guy before. It shows how much I paid attention in history class, but like his motivation was his stomach hurt,
which is not a bad. I hadn't heard about it either, but maybe because he didn't. I don't think he succeeded either.
Right.
But it's as valid a reason as anything, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, if you are a person that's inclined to murdering someone, I guess the reason could be minute. I just never thought, well, I know how to solve this. I'm going to go knock on Trump's door and, you know.
Move your little finger.
The FBI are coming now. You have to be
careful. Yeah.
I know. I should not be recording this right now. I'm talking to a foreigner, and I'm talking about murdering the president.
Yikes.
Come to Los Angeles. There goes my visa opportunity. It's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're going to come after you too, Neil.
I know Emo the Musical is on Netflix, but is it? Do you have any aspirations of it being like on the big screen in America? Because if you do, guess what? Not going to happen.
Kiss it goodbye.
It's okay. It's fine. We like failure here. It's good.
Okay, good. All right. So you've gotten 2 out of 3. So here is your fourth lyric. And it didn't heal the country, and it didn't make them listen.
Mm. Oh, I know the song. I don't know the name. Can I refer to my song list? My song name.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course.
It is. Oh, I guess it's. Oh, my song list is useless. I've got Final Sequence on November the 22nd. It's almost like a reprise. Everybody's got the right. No, another national anthem. That's it.
Yes.
I got it at the end. Good.
Yes. Another national anthem. Yeah. That to me was one of the songs that was probably the most disjointed. It seemed like there was several bits and pieces just kind of glued together. And also, I'm not sure I got the meaning of the another national anthem in the ballpark and all that stuff. I tried to look it up and nobody really talked about that. Neil, do you have any opinions on what that means, another national anthem?
I don't actually know the American national anthem, but it's like, because they are talking about the national anthem in the ballpark. And I assume I've been to one baseball game in America, and it's quite pure, and it's fun. It seems to be like a very American patriotic pastime to be involved in. So I think they're kind of talking about how there's actually another song that's playing while you're all sitting around and being inspired and feeling aspirational. There's another song for people who aren't welcome at the ballpark, or people who can't afford to get into the game.
That makes sense. It seemed like that song, it was making a lot of good points that I was catching on to, but none of it was really, I didn't understand why they kept saying another national anthem. But now that makes sense that you know, there's an underground of people that don't always feel as patriotic as everyone else, or maybe just as patriotic, but in ways like for their country and not for their leaders. I think you've basically won the game already. You've gotten 3 out of 4. So,
yes.
But we'll give you just one more chance to either prove that you're awesome or mess up this last one. I think you got it. So this last lyric is, so many people that tickets were raffled.
The Ballad of Guitar.
Yes, ding, 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 ding. Look at that. 4 out of 5. Just like we did on your musical. I'm not sure the whole sentence either. I think it was something about the, it was when Charlie Gâteau is, he's about to get hung, I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was his trial, but there were so many people that they were selling tickets to his trial or to his hanging. I can't remember which one, but
right.
That was interesting. It was interesting because, like you said, he is probably the most likable character, and I guess that was true in real life as well. Maybe that's why they tried to portray him like that.
And he does have the trump card where he gets to say, God told me to do it, which right. gives him yeah. this beautiful moral high ground. Because I think they were raffling tickets to his trial, and I'd be fascinated to see how true that was. I assume it's true. But he also leads them in prayer at the start of that yeah. trial. And you go, oh, the hypocrisy of somebody who can murder somebody else can then say, God made me do it. So I'm like, God's my employer and now he's my lawyer. So do what you mm-hmm. dare. It's like, it's just brilliant. He's got every right. Would be curious to see how true it was.
Right. It sounds true. I think I read a quote with him saying, like, people are going to be shocked at how accurate this is. Now, obviously, I think they're, you know, picking and choosing stuff, but the stuff that they piece together to kind of tell the more broad narrative, I think that's all still pretty true. But it doesn't matter because Neil won the game.
Great job, Neil.
Yes, that's all. History has just been... Yes, thank you.
You know, I totally forgot. We didn't even talk about least favorite songs. We talked about favorite songs. We were being so positive. But you know what? Let's get dark and gritty and talk about least favorite songs. So let's start with Elise. Elise, what was your least favorite song? And Neil, we have to say this to all our guests, but least favorite song does not mean it's a bad song. It just means it was the one you didn't like.
Okay.
So in this case, my least favorite song, it's not really my least favorite song. It's the song that I wish was improved. So my choice is Unworthy of Your Love, but I like it. I really like it. It's just that I wanted it to be different. I felt like it could have been more crazy. The little hook of I am unworthy of your love. Like, I love that, and I think that's great. But I don't know, I wanted more from it.
Well, I think it's a good song. If I was going to change something, I would actually want it to just be longer. And Neil, you kind of already talked about that song a little bit. So go ahead. I give you permission to just scream at Elise why she's wrong.
Well, I'd agree. That's my least favorite song, too. The tables have turned.
Wow, okay.
I think it's a really important song, and it's the only song that is kind of a soft, gentle love ballad. So it's kind of important musically, structurally, to kind of have a piece of something that's totally different throughout the course of the musical. So I think it's really important as far as that goes. But yeah, it is softer. It's a little bit smaltier, and the song just doesn't sit with me. I think it's probably more a personal thing. It's obviously very 80s as well, and I think maybe I just don't like that period. But yeah, I think the song's really important. But yeah, it's just one of those songs that I don't know, if I was listening and put on the radio, I'd just change the channel. That's fine, but no, I'd rather listen to something else.
Now I feel horrible because I said that was the one that reminded me the most of your musical, but I didn't mean the actual song necessarily, but maybe the structure of the song with the guy and the girl singing. But oh gosh, now I gave you permission to yell at Elise, but now you should be yelling at me.
Totally, totally fine. I don't think it's a bad song at all. It's just a song I don't like. It's, you know, it's not a personal, I don't think it's rubbish. So I'll still take similarities. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
I thought, James, were you referring to like the hook? Or what I'm talking about, like, I am unworthy of your love.
Yeah, that kind of, I think you could take that line and throw it in Emo the Musical.
But I don't know, that line I feel like definitely could be in Emo the Musical.
It could be. It could be just it's dealing with love. And we deal a lot more with love in our musical than they do in Assassins, believe it or not.
Yeah, my least favorite song, I kind of hinted at it a little bit earlier, but it's the Another National Anthem. Like I said, it just kind of confused me a little bit. I get it now, but just at first listen, I was just a little bit like, I'm not quite sure I'm getting what they're saying right now. And also, I think I said it's a little bit disjointed. There are a lot of longer songs that seem to have, like, it sounds different than it does at the end, and it jumps around. But this one, just for me, it was a little bit all over the place. But also, still a good song. And that's why we have to say least favorite doesn't mean bad, because still I really did like a lot of these songs. And it was hard to pick a least favorite. I feel like we say that all the time, but it really was hard to pick a least favorite.
I think with Another National Anthem, because it is just the pulling together of so many characters and so many themes and ideas. So it is definitely disjointed. And I think I think it's probably a very hard song to write. But yeah, I can absolutely see what you mean.
That song confused me because it was like we were summarizing, like, okay, so just so you know, like, this person did this and that person did that for this reason and that reason. And I think that confused me because I was like, oh, this is the end now. And it wasn't.
Yeah. That is kind of strange to kind of be like, they were telling the story of each assassin for a while. And then at that moment, they do kind of just address the audience and say,
yeah,
I did it for this reason. I did it for this reason. So that is interesting. Maybe that's another reason, like, subconsciously, that I thought, what's going on right now? But I think it's effective because I was curious. So now, why did these people do this? And so it is helpful in that regard.
It's interesting because it does, because you have kind of got all these, they're separate reasons for doing it. But then to kind of throw them all together in one song, you kind of get to spot what all the similarities are and what the differences are. And sure, they're talking about politics, but this big overwhelming tide of narcissism becomes just really apparent, and it is all about them. So yeah, it's interesting to kind of see when you throw all those separate ideas, what links. Right. I think it's a fascinating song that way.
I think we're coming to the end of this episode. We always rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm going to start because why not? So I'm going to give this Assassins, I'm going to give it, I think I'll give it a 7.8, which is pretty high if anybody's listening to. It's higher than what I normally give things, I think. I don't know if it would be necessarily one of my favorites to watch, but Neil, like I think you said, you were exposed to it on the soundtrack of it more than anything than seeing it. And in that way, I think it's a really fun listen. I've been listening to it nonstop all week, not just because I had to for this episode, because I could have listened to it once and probably been good, but I listened to it a lot because I liked it. And like I said, I studied American music. It really has that feel. I just like that feel of whether it's like the fanfare type stuff or the carnival sounding stuff or even the folky sounding stuff. I really like that. And I would listen to this in the context of the musical, outside the context of the musical. I just think it's fun stuff. And it's got those classic Sondheim vibes. Well, at least, what would you rate it? We'll end with Neil. So
yeah,
we'll
let's save the best for Neil, last. Yeah, he'll be very positive. So I'm going to give this a 6.8. I really like the concept. I feel like that's a super interesting idea. Like we talked about it being like a series of skits and that sort of thing instead of like an actual plot. So I think I would have preferred if it were structured differently. Like we have a couple, you know, ballad of so-and-sos, and it's like, okay, well, let's just do that for everybody. Like, let's have like an organization here. Like, let's tell each story individually and go down the line. And then at the end, we'll bring everybody together and, you know, then they'll all sing their song to Lee or whatever. But I think I just wanted it to be structured differently, more predictable, like knowing what's going to happen next. And I feel like there was kind of some back and forth, which kind of jarred me a little bit.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. Like when it cuts to people sitting down and talking and having a conversation or like a monologue, as fascinating as those scenes were, I agree. I think I would have enjoyed it more if those had been taken out and it kind of been more of a sung through musical or that sort of format.
Or it's like, go the opposite way and just like intertwine everybody and like cut between different people quickly or whatever. But like the structure just seemed so unpredictable that I think that just kind of confused me a little bit. I like the concept. I liked the songs and listening to the songs again today. Like I really do like them and it was hard to choose a least favorite. Overall, good.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a good score for you. People that know, yeah, you would know. 6.8, although it sounds kind of on the lower side, that's a good at least score. Neil, what are you thinking? What are you giving this?
Well, I'm going to give it an 8.
8.
8's pretty high, I think, but at the same time, it's not perfect. For a favorite musical, I think 8's not very high.
Right.
I kind of agree with what you guys say. I think it's a musical that doesn't work. Like the scenes that they're put together, I don't think they fully work. There's a whole bunch that don't need to be there. But at the same time, it's like, I think that's what's exciting about it. It's definitely got art house cred, this musical. Right. So it's not giving you what is standard and what is normal. And there is something tempting to go, well, it would be nice to kind of have a stronger structure where it was ballad after ballad. But at the same time, with the content that it's dealing with, and it is kind of punch you in the face content, you might not want something that is that predictable in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the disjointed nature of it, but even knowing that it doesn't work, I think they've made a really brave choice, and I think people should be commended as much for bravery as anything else. I don't know all of Sondheim's musicals, but Company is another example of a musical that's kind of incredibly disjointed, and it's all around this guy. I think he's turning 30, and it's just about the people that he knows in his life, and it's disjointed, and it seems to work better than Assassins does. But I think this one deals with its politicals a lot better. And I think also the music is great. It's like you can just listen to this one on your phone and have no worry about whether you've seen the musical, because the plot does carry itself. You understand. In some ways, you feel like you've watched the musical once you've heard it, which is really impressive about it. So the music is spectacular. But yeah, there are plot problems. But I'm still going to give it an 8 for just being so fucking... Oh, I swore. Sorry.
That's okay.
Australians. just for being really brave, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think
it is brave, for sure. That's a good word to use for this musical.
They even tried to revive it in 2001, and they said it was right after... Then 9/11 happened, and they were like, oh, we need to put this off until... Then they waited till 2004. So it is a dark subject matter. There's a time and place for it. And I think now... I think they started another revival of this, and I think it's another good time to kind of bring this up and talk about, like, why do people do things? Should we be doing things? What's entitlement about? What's narcissism about? How do we deal with these? And just a very interesting musical that brings that all to light. So once again, Neil, thank you for bringing this to our attention, and thank you for being
here. Yes, thank you, Neil.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Yeah, it's been super fun. So what do you have going on? Obviously, Emo the Musical for us here in America, it's on Netflix. It's not on Netflix In Australia, or it is, or I've had people be like, I said, hey, you should check it out. It's on Netflix. And people from Australia were like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's every world except Australia on Netflix. So it's like people in Brazil, people in Japan are watching it, but people in Australia are not, which is kind of a bit sad because
that's very sad.
It's doing quite well around the world. But as far as the industry and stuff goes here, I kind of have to tell people what I've done. I'm going to be, oh, I just made this movie and no one's heard of it. So it's like the people that I meet day to day. Yeah, they've never heard of the film. But there's something liberating about that as well, because I am at home. I don't want to be, like, talking constantly about the movie. I want to be focusing on new things sometimes. Right. So there's some ways it's liberating, but sometimes you just go, geez, I wish someone had heard of what I did. I wish somebody knew about this. But hopefully we will be able to get onto a video on demand here soon. Just contracts and legalities and regions. Man, I don't have to think about it, but I'm glad I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I would be the same way. Now, I do have to ask, this is kind of separate, but I did see an interview with you where you said you wanted to start working on and I hope I get this right, a horror movie for kids, and that sounded fascinating to me, and I want to know if you're still doing that or not, because if you are, please tell me. Please tell me that's happening.
It was not happening for a very long time. Like, that film has been the bane of my existence for the last year and a half, where since that interview, I've been working on it like crazy, and it is so complicated. So one draft, it will be the usual suspects, and the next draft, it'll be election. And it's like, sometimes it's this massive political thriller about monsters inside a school, which kids would never watch or understand. So I've been hitting my head against the wall for ages, and in the last couple of weeks, I solved it. When you send it to the general public, they just see the solved version, but there's a whole bunch of terrible versions that have come beforehand. So I'm coming out of a very dark process with this.
Oh, good thing I brought it up.
I'm like, do I want to be an artist anymore? This is driving me crazy. Can I handle this anymore? And on the other end, people are watching, so that's cute. And I want to punch them and be like, no, it's not cute. It's 4 years of my blood and sweat and tears. But yeah, it's finally going well. So I'm hopefully going to start doing what you do with smoothie scripts when they're done.
Well, that's awesome. I hope that all comes to fruition, because I was very intrigued when I heard that, and I'm excited to see what that ends up turning into. And please put it on American Netflix if it ever gets made. So
call Netflix for me, and we'll line something up. That would be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have strong connections with Netflix. But yes, once again, thank you for being here, Neil.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and guys, follow us on Twitter at WRLM Podcast or on Instagram at We Really Like Musicals. Next week, we're doing something pretty cool. We've been doing this show for a year, and we're doing a 1 year anniversary of the show. We will be talking a little bit about Hamilton, which we've talked about before, but also some other things. It's going to be, hopefully, we'll have some fun guests that we've had on before, and it'll just be fun to celebrate a whole year of this podcast. It's weird that we've been doing this for a year. Doesn't feel like it. Well, maybe it does. I don't know. So yes, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time. This has been We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses the musicals. I'm James. And
I'm Elise.
I feel like I need to add a gunshot sound right here to end this episode.
You shouldn't, because when I listen to the music in the car, the gunshots scare me every time.
Musicals jazzing.